Welcome into your Friday community segment. Of course, we're talking about running on ice, and joining us is Mary O'Connell, the editor of that newsletter and host of that show with that particular name. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you this morning?
I am very well. Thank you very much. We're going to be talking about a very interesting topic today, the cargo theft, and just an interesting topic all the way around, and the fact that we've heard some headlines about it's on the rise. What are you hearing about how prevalent this is in the industry?
So this is something that you don't often think about when it comes to cold chain. You know, you just kind of say, oh, everything stays cold, but cargo theft is actually an extreme problem for that. I want to say it happens a lot more often than you think it does. You know, we've talked about it, and it's something that, you know, various forms of it do happen every day. And that is that it just, you know, it doesn't matter depending on what form it is. You know, you have the outright, you know, give me all the stuff off the truck, or I'm just going to come pick and choose what I want from the truck. And then you have, you know, that typical, something closer to that freight fraud where, or double brokering fraud, where you have some shady characters behind the scenes doing some things. And so it's just a matter of, you know, protecting yourself, protecting your product, but it happens a lot more than we think it does. And also the same way, because I know we said that last year, it's been reported that last year it's been a couple billion dollars of lost freight. The one thing is that that's probably an underreported statistic for whatever you read about cargo theft, because not many people will actually admit to when it happened, because nobody really wants to admit that they got taken for a ride.
Yeah, definitely. No one wants to admit that there as well. So, Mary, as you look at this, obviously, we've heard about cargo theft from a lot of different, in a lot of different geographical areas and a lot of different time frames with a lot of different types of stuff. But is it prevalent amongst the cold chain community?
It actually is really prevalent. One of the most common commodities, you know, lifted or targeted for this type of fraud is, surprisingly enough, food and beverage. So my first thought when it came to, oh, what's going to get, you know, what's going to get lifted off of a truck, I thought it would be, you know, pretty much exclusive to electronics, you know, those PS5s that are kind of still hard to come by, something like that, or, you know, stuff like that. But apparently food and beverage is really common. So it's something, whatever, that the criminals can take and then turn around and sell quickly for a profit. So anything that could easily be flipped and turned and sold is going to be at a much higher risk of being targeted for theft.
So with that, are there any specific regions in the country that are more susceptible to this kind of thing? I would imagine, obviously, anything with a major temperature variance where things have to be kept a certain temperature are going to have more cold chain or more temperature controlled freight going through there. But are there certain regions that are going to be more susceptible to this?
Honestly, it's pretty much an open field on any part of the U.S. It's just a matter of, you know, being aware of your surroundings and educating your drivers to say, like, hey, you know, make sure you go into a pickup with a full tank of gas. So that way you don't have to stop a couple hundred miles away, because really it's that opportunity. So if they know that there's a beverage wholesaler, and then about 100 miles away, there's a, you know, kind of a more remote gas station or some other stuff like that. That's why it's extremely crucial to make sure that you have everybody on board, all of that safety training there. So that way, one, the driver knows that if something happens, just let them take the product. Like, their life is not worth anything else. Just say, here you go, we'll take the L, hopefully not see you again. But also to know that, like, you know, stops too close to a wholesaler, like breaks overnight within a couple hundred miles of the wholesaler, it's not a good job. It's not a good time. That's going to open you up for a lot more risk. So just, you know, really being educated on what can happen and what extra precautions you can take is great. And then also the most important part is, as a shipper, once something happens, once you get that alert that, oh, your trailer door has been opened and they're not at a receiver, or you have any kind of temperature variations, that's when it's really important to have a plan in place. So that way, if you see it, someone in the office doesn't run around going, oh no, what do we do? It's really important to say, okay, well, the trailer doors have been open. So this is the step-by-step we follow to make sure that, you know, we're handling this situation, even if it's just an accident or if there is something nefarious going on. Just kind of that plan that's there to protect everyone.
So you mentioned obviously earlier food and beverage being a high target priority for some of these people. I'm not sure if you know the answer to this question or not, but obviously you're talking about cold chain in areas, of course, where it's very cold. Then you don't want things to freeze. You still have to have that temperature controlled area there as well. Are there any areas on that side of the temperature controlled environment where those items are being targeted as well?
So pretty much yes and no. So yes, you're still going to have those things that are temperature variant. But obviously the stuff that is at negative 60 degrees that require special equipment for handling, those aren't really going to be lifted as much because if they take them, there's a pretty good chance that they don't have the proper equipment to take it. So that's kind of the ultra cold is, I don't want to say safe because it could still happen, but it's less likely because because also that ultra cold stuff, if I'm a criminal and I take, you know, a bunch of vials of vaccines or medicines or gene therapies, there's not really a strong resale market for it. And it's much harder to kind of turn around and sell because the big thing with that is that they just want to turn it and make a quick profit. So anything that they can sell quickly, that's going to be something that they can target. So it's going to be your drinks, your other stuff like that. So it's not so much for the ultra cold, more for, you know, the stuff that you want to protect from freeze and kind of keep it at a certain temperature. Last I checked, fruit and vegetables still aren't very highly targeted for theft. So I guess something stuck with us all from childhood about that.
Yeah, probably ice cream might be high on the list there too, perhaps in one way or another. So obviously we want to be proactive about this and not reactive about it. So if you want to get ahead of the curve, if you want to try and obviously stop this as much as possible, what are some precautions that shippers and carriers can take to try and ensure that things don't get out of line and a load gets lost?
So basically, the biggest thing you can do is just kind of arm yourself the best that you can, not physically with like technology and software, Internet of Things, just having stuff like that, having trackers on the truck to know if your door's been breached, having temperature controlled sensors to make sure that a product is staying at the right temperature and it's not getting spoiled. And then also, you know, it's kind of that old plan for the worst, hope for the best type of situation. So have plans in place that you kind of routinely practice and cover and go over. So that way when something happens, it takes that element of panic out of it because you really don't want to be sitting there going, oh my gosh, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? When in reality, you need to be making phone calls. You need to be figuring it out because if a door got breached, well, it could be anything from the original truck broke down and they're offloading it on the side of the highway, or it could be cargo theft, or it could be a whole host of other problems. It could be something shifted and the driver went to go check it out, or it went to go get kind of re-put back together before it arrived at the distributor. Ideally, if it's not anything bad, your driver should be calling you, letting you know what happened, like, oh, we broke down and we offloaded it. But as we all know, in transportation, not everyone is 100% transparent all the time. So it's kind of that way, that just extra insurance policy to say, hey, this is what we've got. And this is what our protocol is when this happens. So just because a door gets broken doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting burglarized. It just means that something happened and there should be a plan in place to see what is happening. And that way you can protect yourself, your product, and ultimately your driver that is also hauling the ship.
So then how do logistics companies, law enforcement, other regulatory agencies, how do they come together, work together and try, obviously come together from a reporting standpoint, but also perhaps from a prevention standpoint as well?
It really just requires everyone to be on the same team. So, you know, law enforcement, when they do have a report of a cargo theft, you know, going out to try and find the person that they think they have, or quick responses to incidents of cargo theft. Because obviously, if we can stop someone from committing crimes, it's going to work out better for everyone else in the future because that's one less criminal on the street. But it's also really going to depend on the carrier and the shipper being honest and transparent with law enforcement, starting to report it. It's something that happens to everybody. So unfortunately, as much as it sucks to admit that it happened to you, it's really important that you do admit it so that way we can stop it from happening to somebody else. And also just, you know, kind of working proactively, finding some of those great companies out there that do specialize in cargo security and do specialize in monitoring of a whole host of things. It's really important to kind of lean on them. They're the experts and they have plans and policies in place that, you know, when XYZ happens, this is the response. And so that usually involves getting everyone on board and saying, this is our plan collectively, and this is what we hand over to the authorities and vice versa. So I would definitely say when it comes to trying to protect yourself against cargo theft, don't try to do it alone. Get those experts involved the same way that, you know, if you're known for making world-renowned cupcakes, you wouldn't want someone else trying to come in and make cupcakes. You'll be the expert on cupcakes. You'll have your logistics providers as the experts on getting your cupcakes to where they need to be safely.
Definitely a high priority there. You've got the show coming up later on today. One of our favorite guests here as well.
Yes, this week we have Richie Daigle from Ty. And we are not Tithe, and we are talking about all things cargo security and kind of some of Tithe's solution that they have for it.
And of course, you have the newsletter as well.
Yes, we have that coming out today too, and we are talking about different things from cargo security. So we're really covering the whole world of cold chain today. Just kind of hang out here. You can continue watching FreightWaves TV. The show will be on it too, and the newsletter will be out right around then also.
All right, thank you very much, Maria. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys.